Hey, you listen to this podcast. Go to myplayvolution.com, click the Amazon icon, bookmark that page, and use it every time you shop on Amazon. It's a way for you to support the show without costing you anything. And it's a win-win-win. Amazon wins because you buy their stuff, and you win because you get stuff. And we win because we get a few pennies per purchase. Win-win-win. What could be better? Come on, do it. Please?
One, two, three.
Hey. We're starting a revolution, a play revolution, a playvolution. Get it? Come on over and check it out at www.myplayvolution.com. It's an online community for parents and early learning professionals who want to chat and share information and talk and educate themselves and educate others about what's going on in the early learning profession. Let's face it, Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter aren't as warm and cuddly as we might like them to be. This is your community. A place you're going to help create. Come on over. Don't be afraid. Check it out. Jump in. Support the community. Be the community. We need you. Got it? See you there.
Gosh.
Oh my gosh, listeners, if you could just hear what you don't get to hear.
Amen.
Hey there, cats and kittens. Welcome back to another late night episode of the Child Care Barn Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. Lisa Murphy's on the phone with me now. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I am fantastic. How are you today, Mr. Jeff?
I am doing great. Man, we got a listener requested topic today. We're going to be talking about getting people dressed for work. And pretty much...
Whoa.
Yeah, what?
You mean like... How to dress your staff? Like,
well,
they can't do it themselves? Or do you mean like what should they be coming to work dressed in?
I think the request was, you know, what should people be showing up dressed in
wearing
when they show up to work with children? So there's about a bazillion different directions we can go here. So where do you want to start?
Well, you know, I'm always hesitant to kind of jump out with hey, I've already talked about this before. Let me reference the article that I've written. But, I mean, in this scenario, it is kind of my stock, you know, kind of consistent go-to response, which is I think that dress codes have a place, but I also think that, you know, if you've created now a dress code policy because one chick looks like she's going clubbing on her lunch break, I think you've missed the mark. I think you need a conversation and not a policy. And that's pretty much been my stance for the get-go. But I also, as a former owner of a child care center, I also know that, unfortunately, you can't just assume saying, please come to work, you know, dressed appropriately for the job you're here to do. Some people really don't know what that means, and so you have to spell out your expectations without sounding patronizing. I've observed schools where teachers look like they just rolled out of bed and their hair is dirty, and I mean, I'm not looking to throw anybody under the bus, but I mean, they look like they haven't had a shower in a couple days, and you know, they're in their sweatpants and some big frumpy t-shirt, and you know, and then they got a, you know, kind of a not even a smirk, like a Debbie Downer Eeyore face on their face, and you know, and then they're screaming about how they want to make $25 an hour, and I'm like, you know what, I know you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, and how you're dressed technically doesn't necessarily represent your ability in regard to the job, but you know, the reality is that in our culture, people do make impressions on how you're dressed, and you know, I think there that when we say things like take pride in your appearance, you still have to spell out what that means. I mean, I you know, overalls are kind of, you know everybody, they either hate or love them, but I tell you, as a preschool teacher, overalls were awesome because they had all those pockets and I could cuff them up and put my boots on under them and like schlep in the mud and, you know, carry Band-Aids and a bottle of water and, you know, all the business in my pockets. And,
you got the little loop to carry
aren't appropriate.
You got the little loop to carry a hammer in?
Huh?
On your overalls, you have the little loop to carry a hammer in case you got a
rapid. Yeah, you know, you might need to hang something, right?
Oh, yeah, so it might be like a rabid squirrel or something on the playground.
Right, and then put it in formaldehyde and mail it to you.
Exactly.
You know, what ends up happening is that, like, you've got, okay, just for the sake of numbers, let's say you've got 20 staff members. You got one chick that's showing up looking either like she just rolled out of bed, or you got one chick showing up looking like she's, you know, going dancing on the lunch break, or you got one chick showing up. You know, so you need to address that one person. If everybody else is okay, you don't need a policy. You need to have a conversation. And I think we avoid that kind of conversation because we think it's going to turn conflict, or we think we're going to make her mad and then she's going to quit. But meanwhile, now you hold yourself up in your office for 4 days and you type up this policy that most of your staff don't even need. And the chick that you wrote it for doesn't even know you wrote it for her, right? So it's really, forgive my bluntness, but it's a waste of time. You need to sit her down and spell it out. But the other thing, Anne, is that you need to know what you want. Right, you can't just say come to work dressed appropriately, because you know that could mean 14,000 different things. You know, here's what your bottom part should look like. Here's what your top part should look like. Here's the stuff I don't want to see exposed. You know, and then if you find you have to tighten it up or be more specific, then do that. You know, it's finding that middle ground between not micromanaging but yet spelling it out that you know you don't, you know, it's not maybe free reign. Maybe it is bad that you have to do that, but you know, I have no problem with jeans. Now, if your jeans are like totally cut up and holy and dirty and they stink, you know, that's different, but that's not jeans, that's your jeans, right? So it doesn't mean jeans aren't acceptable, it means you need a new pair of jeans. Done.
Yeah, I think part of the dress problem a lot of programs have is directly related to the finding good staff problem that a lot of programs have. If you can manage to find staff that are treat the job as a profession
becomes not an issue. It's not an issue anymore.
If you're lowering your expectations for staff, you're probably going to have more of these kind of dress issues. The overalls, as far as I'm concerned. But
well,
I get the utility.
I mean, I'm not there for a fashion statement.
Well, yeah,
right?
I know. And I get the utility of it. I'm more of a jeans and t-shirt, jeans and sweatshirt kind of guy, as long as stuff is appropriate for work. If it's the jeans and you can see the outline of the if you can see the outline of the tattoo you have on your butt through the jeans because they're so tight, maybe not appropriate for work. If there's a lot of butt cleavage, maybe those jeans aren't the ones you want to wear to work. But otherwise, a pair of good-fitting jeans that you can actually get out and do the job in, great. A t-shirt, if your boobs are falling out or your chest is falling out, and, you know, with 99% of the staff in this profession being women, I mean, that's been an issue sometimes that we've had to deal with in the past. But, you know, my big thing is come dressed for work. And
whatever that means for you. You know, and I've talked a lot, some of our regular listeners will know that I used to mention Miss Shannon. Miss Shannon, when I hired her, she came to her interview with blue denim jeans, shorts. Now, they weren't cut off, right? She bought them as shorts, but they happened to be jeans. They covered everything up. I mean, everything was covered. And she had on a tank top that covered everything. But, I mean, it was the middle of summer. It's Southern California. And she had these big wedge shoes. Your favorite kind of shoes, Jeff. Uh-huh. She always wore these big, strappy wedge heels. And it was awesome. But she could run around in them, right? So at first glance, somebody who subscribes to some kind of a black, white, that's okay, this is not okay, that is, this is not, this is, as soon as she would walk in the door, it would be like, oh, my God, she's got a tank top on, she's got shorts on, she's got these big shoes on. But Miss Shannon could run in those shoes. Miss Shannon could chase after toddlers in them. She played kickball with the kids. She would take the kids on walks up one side and down the other. I mean, they didn't get in the way of her doing her job, which is how I said, you know, this is a non-issue. Then we hired another girl who was like, oh, my God, this is so awesome. You can wear tank tops and high heels here. You know, so she shows up in these shoes and she's falling down. I say in the workshop, she looked like a drunk giraffe because she did. She's like stumbling over herself, and I'm like, you need to go change your shoes. And she's like, why? And I'm like, because you can't do your job. And she's like, well, that's not fair because Miss Shannon gets to wear them. And I'm like, well, Miss Shannon can walk in them. You know, so go perfect the art of walking in them, and then you can wear them to work. But until then, you need to go home and change your shoes. And, you know, she just got all off on this fair business. And you know, a part of me wanted to scream that, you know, life ain't fair, princess, get over it. You know, either go change your shoes or go find a new freaking job. And not that I'm that black and white when it comes to it, but it's like, you know, we scream about how there's no one-size-fits-all policy for the children, or that there shouldn't be one-size-fits-all policies for the kids. And yet we think now somehow there should be for adults. And there's not.
And I 100% agree with you. And, oh my God, wedges? Ick.
I know
wedges?
You hate those shoes. Sidebar, if you're new, there's a couple of clothing items that Jeff loathes. One of them is flip-flops.
And the other one are
wedge shoes and apparently overalls, which is new to my understanding.
Well, I'm a complicated guy. I was just going to go off on a big rant about leave the damn flip-flops and heels at home. But you persuaded me, you know, if you can walk like a grown-up and do the job in them, really, I probably have no problem with them, except I see way too many people that they wear the flippy-floppy shoes, and then they can't move out in the playground.
That's different.
Yeah, that's completely different. Shoes. And I concede.
The minute you use clothing, shoes, or any of your accessories, if any of those things now get in the way of you doing your job for whatever reason, then I have now permission as your director or your owner or your supervisor, boss, whoever, to have a conversation about that. I've had teachers that have 3-inch nails, beautiful acrylic, all like, you know, art out. Oh my God, they're awesome. I like sit there and just stare at their nails. But they're still able to change diapers. Nobody's getting scratched. Nobody's eyes are being poked out. You know, and that doesn't mean that, you know, here you can go get long nails, right? It means that if you can function while you have your long nails, go for it. If you can function with a ring on every finger and 49 bracelets on every arm, knock yourself out. But the minute that I see that you are now second guessing what your role is, or if I used to see you uber active and now you're adopting a style from somebody on the playground, but now you're not that same person, you know, to me, that's an invitation to have a conversation.
And so we need to...
But it doesn't mean now let's go make a policy that says no more bracelets, no more long nails, no more this, no more that.
Yeah, because we can...
And everybody who works with kids needs to take a freaking shower every day. And I'm sorry, I don't know whose ears that might sound some kind of judgmental to, but you need to come to work freshly bathed, whether that meant the night before. Everybody's different. Everybody's body's different, but you need to show up fresh and clean and ready for the day. And that's always kind of a sticky, no pun intended. It can be tricky, you know? It can be really tricky, and it can be really uncomfortable to have to call somebody to the carpet on it. And, you know, if I've got a bunch of families now who are really not comfortable walking into a classroom because the BO is so overwhelming, you know, if you're not noticing it and nobody else is saying it, at some point it becomes the director's job, you know. But if you spell it out, right, see, that's why I'm such a big thing. Sorry, I'm rambling. That's why I'm such a big proponent of an employee handbook, which does not mean you spell out every possible, you know, bit of minutia. But if you spell it out from the get-go at the time of interview, you have something to come back to. You know, you read this before I interviewed you. You agreed to it during the interview. You initialed that you acknowledged it during the interview. So it's now 30 days later, I'm having to tell you week after week that you're not coming to work dressing or smelling appropriately. Yeah, I've got grounds to let you go. Because I have a paper trail that says you acknowledge that this was an expectation at the time you were offered the position. So that is one of the main reasons why I really stress some of that preventative kind of negotiation. This is what we do here. These are our expectations, which is why if you're listening as a director or an owner, you have to figure out a way to get all of that stuff in your head onto a piece of paper, because you can't hold people accountable to that which is in your head.
Okay, so let's unpack that. What's that language in that staff handbook look like for the kind of dress code we're talking about? The, hey, wear something that covers the bits that need to be covered and allows you to do the job.
I would actually say that, you know, we expect people who assume that this is a profession to understand what coming to work appropriately might mean. And we also know that that might mean a lot of different things to other people. So we're spelling some things out, right? So this is what would be acceptable on your feet, or this is what we're deeming acceptable on your feet. you know, this is what we're deeming. And then the asterisk, I'm a big fan of the asterisk, right? Mm-hmm. So shoes that allow you to do your job. And the asterisk might, the asterisk next to that would say, you know, this might vary from person to person. Your job is to be a grown-up and say, does this footwear allow me to do my job? And then I'm understanding that if it gets in the way of me doing my job, that somebody above me on the hierarchy has the authority to come in and say, you need to change your shoes. So it would say, you know, bottom wear, skirt, shorts, covering up all of your private business, you know, whatever that might look like, a dress, a shirt. Because I had one girl, she kept, she used to come in and wearing suits, but she finger painted every day. You know, so you know, some people would say that that was just as inappropriate as showing up in your pajamas, but it didn't interfere with her providing a very playful, learning, hands-on oriented environment, right? So you got to spell it out. Shirt.
Whoa, we got to go back. Whoa, we got to go back here for a minute. She came in wearing like suits,
She had dress pants. She had dress pants on and like a chemise, kind of, you know, like a camisole.
Uh-huh.
Like it was like a. If she'd taken off the little blazer, it would have been like a, like she had on a tank top, you know, and it was appropriate. And she, that's how she chose to dress.
So,
you know,
and then she finger painted.
I don't know if she went to Salvation Army and just felt more confident when she had that on. I don't know if she was subscribing to some kind of a, people will think I'm a professional, but I don't care because I only paid $5 for it. You know, I really don't know what
but
was in her
she,
head.
But then she, like, did she leave at the end of the day covered in everything?
Sometimes.
Okay, because you know, it really.
We had established kind of a. Okay, so this is going back a lot of years. So
uh-huh.
she wasn't afraid, and nor did she give off any weird body language about any of the messy kind of stuff. So she would set it out and facilitate it. She never backed away if somebody came up to her with messy hands. But for some reason, we co-taught. I tended to be more of the magnet for the. You know, the kid that needed to blow their nose on you, if that was me, right? They kind of, you know,
uh-huh.
They knew that. But yeah, it was interesting. But,
yeah, well,
but you could tell from her vibe, like she didn't give off this don't touch me vibe.
Uh-huh. Well, I just
got
this.
And maybe that's because she knew she only paid $5 for the suit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I just got this thing. There's those people out there in the world that can like not get covered with everything. And.
But yet they're still involved.
Well, yeah, no, and I wish I could be that person because we go out, Tasha and I'll go out to dinner and you know, every once in a while I'll try to dress like a person for her. So, you know, I'll put on a shirt that like has buttons and she'll look at me like you're going to go out and you're going to order pasta and then you're going to get a big hunk of pasta sauce on that white button-down shirt and I'm going to laugh at you, and then I'm going to have to get the stain out. So can't you just put on some of the junk that you usually wear is pretty much the look I get. And so, I mean, I literally have her mark. I pretty much subsist. I pretty much exist in white T-shirts most of the time when we're around the house. But if I put on a new white T-shirt by the end of the day, it's going to be ruined. And so she marks. I have her mark the left shoulder of my play shirts with Sharpie so that I know it's
Shut
okay.
Shut the fuck up.
No.
I am going to look at your shirts from this point forward. I'm going to check the back of your collar.
Well, not when Lisa Murphy is around. I don't do that. But no, I'll show you next time you're in town. I'll show you the stack. I got a stack of play T-shirts, and so I'm wearing one right now that's got polka dots, Sharpie polka dots in the left shoulder, and I had one on yesterday that had a heart on it, and so those I know that I can wear that to the shop, and then we hope the system keeps the white T-shirts that are still white. White longer.
Right, right, right.
And so
oh my God,
I just
I
can't.
Love
I can't.
You know how much I love pasta?
Not
I
as much as I do.
Well, this is true. But I love that system. You know, there's some of our parental listeners who might want to adopt that. You know, if it's got three dots on the back of it on a collar with a Sharpie, Mama doesn't care what you do with this shirt. That's kind of a cool thing.
Good job,
Tasha.
It works for me, except sometimes I get distracted.
Give Tasha a sticker and a cookie.
I'll give her a present for it. And so I'm just so jealous of those people that feel comfortable and confident looking good and being around kids because I can't look good and not be around kids without getting Dorito dust all over myself or something.
Yeah, me too. And you know what? And I have a uniform, and this was funny to me because, you know, I think people who see me travel 3 days in a row, they would say, holy crap, Lisa Murphy never changes her clothes. And it's not true. It's just that when it comes to getting dressed, and I totally blame this on my Catholic parochial school uniform wearing upbringing, which might be a podcast for another day, but I have no freaking clue how to dress myself. I really just don't. I mean, so I have a uniform because it makes my life a lot easier because for, you know, 12 years, I knew exactly what, well, not 12, because I did kindergarten, first and second grade at public school, but from third grade until 12th grade, I didn't have to make a choice. You know, I got up, I knew what I had to put on. You know, it was either, you know, there was no choice. Shoes, that was the extent of it. And as I got older, it was your jewelry and your accessories and your earrings. But other than that, I didn't have to think about it. So now, you know, and people who know me know this. I mean, I wear jeans pretty much every day with my cowboy boots. The boots might change, but they're always boots. And the belt might change, but it's always a brown belt. And I either typically usually wear a black or a white T-shirt. White, again, tricky business because I spill. And some kind of a wrap or a scarf or a sweater. I mean, it's like my go-to because I don't have to think. There's, to me, there's so many other things that I want to think about. Now, when I go out at night, like if I'm out with friends, you know, that's like totally different. But like my get up every day kind of uniform is that. And that's what I do my gigs in also too, because, you know, at the end of the day, if you're doing 20 days out on the road, I don't want to have to be considering. That's why, like, sorry, not to change the subject, but like Holly Alyssa Bruno, if any of you have ever seen her before, she wears, I've never seen her in the same outfit twice. She must travel with a box, an old fashioned trunk just to hold her jewelry. And I'm jealous of that because the part of Lisa Murphy that people don't see is that because, you know, when I go out at, you know, on the week, well, not the weekends because I'm never around on the weekends, but like jewelry is like my thing. But on the road, I can't afford to be bogged down with that. But she chooses that to still do that, which I think is still awesome. And there's a part of me that's jealous of that. But I, you know, I've got my silver hoops and maybe a necklace, but usually not. And I got my little, like my band that I put around my wrist and a couple of rings and that's it. You know, and I can't do it because I can't take up the, well, one, I don't have enough space to bring it all with me. But anyway, we've digressed from the topic.
Well, but no,
anyway,
but remember
Holly
that time
you, and her clothing you, and how she chooses to still let that part of herself come through, you know, even when she's on the road, which I think is freaking awesome. And I wish I could find a way to do it. I used to try, but then the bracelets, like I got actually feedback that the clinking of my bracelets bothered people in the audience.
Well, it's because your arms fly around like a helicopter sometimes when you talk. So, your arms fly around like a helicopter blade sometimes when you talk. So I could see that happen.
This is true. And then imagine like 14 silver baubles on your wrist while that's happening.
Yeah.
People were ducking in the front row. They were under attack.
You could lose an eye that way. I remember the first time you came down when we were podcasting outside on the deck. The first time you came down, you're like wearing a dress. And I'm like, oh, Lisa Murphy's a girl. Because I was so used to the uniform that.
No, I think that was because I had put on 20 pounds, and the only thing that fit me were my dresses. Sorry, guys. I know I kind of look like a girl.
So you mentioned
uniform. Some weight.
You mentioned uniforms a little bit. What's your opinion about child care staff uniforms, where everybody wears the same thing?
To me, I can argue both sides, and if you, pretty much based on everything that I've already said, where did it come from? Did it come because from the get-go you just said, forget it, this is one of those things that's going to be a non-compromisable? Okay. Or is it in response to the one girl who, instead of having a conversation with her, now you've punished everybody for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, wearing jeans every day and scrubs, I've seen that, you know, it's kind of cool, but I mean, I've seen the teachers that sometimes have to wear those polo shirts, and dude, the last time I wore a polo shirt, I would have some kind of psychological break because that's all we had to wear in Catholic school. So I was like, I'm sorry, I can't work here. I just physically can't wear polo shirts anymore. But they're also very heavy and they're very hot, you know. So that would get in the way of me doing my job because instantly, the minute I get hot, I don't function. If my feet are hot, if my back gets hot. I mean, I completely shut down. So if I know going into it that I have to wear something that I know is going to make me physically uncomfortable and there's no room for negotiation, quite honestly, I mean, this might sound kind of reactive and like overly dramatic, but I wouldn't accept the job. because I know I can't be the best that I can be if I am expected to wear khaki pants and a what is that? A polo shirt every day.
Yeah.
And that's not a judgment call to any group that that's what they prescribe. But I couldn't work for you. I can't work like that. That's not going to bring out the best in me.
My issue with the staff uniform, whether it's jeans and scrubs or polo shirt and slacks or the denim button up shirt with the embroidered apple on the chest or whatever it is.
I love this.
whatever it is, my problem with it is it looks, when everybody is dressed the same, it just looks too institutional for my non-institutional feelings. And I mean, if it works for your program, fine.
And if you really wanted to unpack it, it means that I don't trust that my staff knows how to dress themselves. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, really,
yeah,
if you wanted to really get down to the bottom layer of it, I don't trust that they can do it, so I'm gonna take that away from them. So...
And I mean, if you're going to the zoo and you know that all the grown-ups that belong with these kids have the red T-shirts on, I get that. And it's,
yes, but why the hell are you going to take 400 kids to the zoo, for crying out loud?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a different topic.
Yeah.
Right down field trips. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So, field trips. And so I think we'd be remiss to end this episode without at least touching on piercings and tattoos, because it's something we've touched on before, but I think that kind of goes with this. And we did a whole See the FD TV video episode about
this.
Say that again
slower for the new people.
We did a whole See the FD TV video episode on tattoos
and
piercings.
And where would they find that?
They'll find that on YouTube.
Okay.
If they search Jeff and Lisa and YouTube and See the FD TV, they'll find it on YouTube. So you basically were the same place with tattoos and piercings as we are with the dress code. Be an adult. Some of the people that have the piercings and tattoos, you know what? Most of them are just normal human beings and are going to do the job.
Well, what did I say in the video? There's an awesome bumper sticker out there that says people who are tattooed don't care that you're not.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing that I brought up probably in the video and then also in the article that I wrote was that initially tattoos weren't the issue. It's that all of a sudden the dress codes became an issue, and then all of a sudden something that I had been able to cover up now wasn't covered up, you know, and then people saw it. I mean, it was like this reverse kind of, it wasn't the tattoo that was a problem. It's just that nobody knew I had one, but now there's a mandatory dress code. And now when I align myself with the dress code, now my tattoos are visible and now that's becoming an issue. So it was this really kind of backdoor kind of thing, or, you know, now that I, yeah, anyway, it,
yeah.
It was, like, nobody cared about that tattoo before, but now all of a sudden they do. And I don't know. I'm like, if it's new and it's novel and everybody's intrigued by it, then spend a couple days looking at it, and then everybody will get on with their day. But if you make her cover it up or make her put a Band-Aid on her ear, for crying out loud, we all know that it's a piercing.
Yeah.
And really, oh, my God, a hummingbird just, like, landed right by me, and holy crap. Sorry.
Squirrel.
Wow. Squirrel. I live in the country now.
So
oh, my
really,
God,
really...
that was awesome. I must be so sweaty that I smell like sugar water or something. Who knew I was
sweet? You're sweating sugar.
Yeah, right. Is that what you just said? Yeah, right.
You're sweating nectar.
Yeah, right.
So I mean, the piercings, oh, and tattoos, really, don't make, if you can hide, if there's somebody that wants to work for you and they are going to be good at the job of early learning, and they've got a sleeve on their arm or they got a nose piercing and they're still going to be able to do the job well, hire the person that can do the job well, and then allow
exactly.
them to do the job well.
What did I say? It's one thing to get, what did I say? Like, you're going to remember. I my go-to soundbite to this is, I don't care if you're tattooed. I don't care if you're pierced. I don't care if you wear high heel. I really don't care about any of that at all. But if any of it, but if it comes, or you could say and as well, if it comes with an attitude, that's an entirely different potatoes.
Yeah.
You know, you got some kind of holier than thou, you know, almighty kind of, you know, whatever, big badass attitude. Your attitude is my problem. not your dress code, not your style, not your peers. None of that means shit to me. But you come with an attitude of thinking that bye bye, and that please, I don't think this is the right spot for you. It has nothing to do with what you might look like. But if you're trying to figure yourself out through this, and that's some kind of sense of defiance, you know, people are, and that's a sidebar comment too. People are picking up more on the attitude that might have nothing to do with your hair color or how many nose rings you have or anything like that. You know, most people who are pretty much grounded, I mean, we all have our own shit and stuff, but you know, you get somebody who's kind of comfortable in their own skin, they're not judging you based on that. You know, people who are comfortable with themselves for the most part, they don't lead or live like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So
get over it.
The whole takeaway from all of this is expect your staff to, you know, dress like adults, do the work. And if you're the staff person, be an adult, dress in clothes that allow you to do the work and do the work and leave the attitude at home if you're playing with an attitude. And let's just all do the damn job, huh?
Exactly, right?
That was a great wrap-up, Jeff.
I love that you ended with like a, huh? That's worse than ending with a preposition. Oh, my gracious.
Crap. We're over half an hour long. We better shut up.
I know. That's a big one. I just looked at my phone. It's like 35 minutes. So let's say goodbye to the nice people and say thank you for listening.
Hey, nice people. We'll be back in a couple of days with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. If you like the show, check out our other offerings, Shots, Lisa's Book Report, and Tom Copeland's Taking Care of Business. And we'd love it if you shared them with friends. Love to comment at myplayvolution.com and gave them 5 stars on iTunes. Thanks. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.